Okay. Do you want to take your seats and remember where you were last at with that conversation, and you can carry it on afterwards. Well, good morning. Lovely to see you all. My name's Nev. I'm one of the pastors here. If you don't know who I am, you're very welcome. If you're new or visiting today, it's great, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful just to worship together just then and sing and celebrate Jesus? And we want to continue to celebrate him now and to be encouraged and stirred in our faith as we look at the Word of God together in just a moment. But before we get into it, Matthew, you're up there, right? There you go, I can see you. Matt, you might not all see Matthew up there, but he's been with us for the last 3 months from Nigeria. He's heading back on Thursday, right? So he's going to be heading back on Air Peace. I heard about this airline, never heard of it before, an airline called Air Peace. So may the peace of God be with you, Matthew, and your family. As you go back, we thank God for you, and we thank you for what blessing you've been to us with your time with us. So thank you. Let's give a round of applause to Matthew. And do continue to pray for him and the family in the coming days. Great. So we're going to continue a series we've been going through, the Gospel of Luke, for many weeks now. We're up to chapter 11, but I don't know how long we've been doing this, for probably over a year at least, isn't it? But we like to take our time. And today we're in Luke chapter 11. So if you're following or you want to read along, Luke 11, I'm going to be using the ESV. So if you have different versions on your phone Bible, you can find that one if that's helpful. But I want to pray just before we start. I'm very aware this morning, just as much as any time, if so, more than ever, is that standing here, preaching the Word of God, don't take it lightly. And I really do want God to speak to us this morning. I want God to speak to you. We're looking at an interesting passage, and as I was preparing it, it was one of those ones where I just, you know, I was just like, God, what do you want to say? There's so much in it. What do you want to say to us this morning through this passage? And I was really, you know, even to this morning, God, what do you want to say? So I'm going to pray now, but I want to ask you for a moment, can you pray for me? That I am faithful and I hear God as I'm speaking, and pray for yourself that God speaks to you through his word. Ultimately, we're going to hear the word of God, and I want God to speak to you and to me as we hear the word of God this morning. So just for one moment, just in your own head, pray for me, help that God would help me to communicate, and then pray for yourself, and then I'll just pray as well. Yes, Father God, I thank you for your presence with us here this morning. I thank you that you are real, you are living, and you are at work in this world. You are at work in our lives, in this church and through your wider church. And I ask you this morning that you would speak to each one of us through your word. Help me. And help us all, Lord God, to receive it, hear it, apply it, obey it, Lord God. We want to give you all the glory for all that happens here today and through our lives. Amen. So if you're someone who likes to take notes and wants a title for a message, I would call this quite simply The Stronger Man. And you'll see why as we look at the text. And just on that theme, I was thinking about various things to do with that theme, and reminded, as I quite often like to share stories of my experience with my older brothers. I just came to mind that when I'm the youngest of three boys, and I used to get pinned down a lot by my brothers. They would play, you know, rough and tumble playing, but they often liked to get me on the floor and pin me down, you know, their knees on my arms and just like harass me and rub my ears till they got really hot and things like that and be right in my face, which wasn't pleasant. But it kind of has given me an experience of what it's like to be the smallest and to be inferior. Although I must say, as I got older, I started to manage to get a bit of my own back on them. But for many years, I was definitely in that position of they could, whenever they wanted, just do things like pin me down, and I couldn't do anything about it. Except when my dad might come into the room, and then I'd be like, help! And then he could just come along and go, rung, and just pull my brother off me, and I would be free. And that was great. And if I wanted to continue to feel a sense of safety and not being pinned again by my brother anytime soon, I could just go and follow my dad and just be with him wherever he was, just follow him around the house. And if they appeared, I'd be like, they'd be like, okay. And so that was helpful. I imagine we can all experience moments of being overwhelmed or by someone or something, some circumstance that might feel as though we are being pinned down or, I can't, what do I do here? And maybe right now you can think of experiences, whether it's a trivial one like the one I mentioned or something a bit more substantial. But what we need to remember is that we all have an almighty, all-powerful Father God who we can turn to at any moment. And he is more powerful than anything, anything that just came into your mind then that you thought, this experience, I can't handle it, or this is too much. God is more powerful. He always has been. He always will be. And he's able to pull that thing off you and free you. And I wonder if you, perhaps you know that, but do you remember that? Are you remembering that today? Do you need to be reminded of that? Are we turning to him and choosing to be those that remain with him? Oh yeah, if I'm with him, hey, I can say to whatever that thing is, look who's for me, look who's with me. And so I want to keep those kind of thoughts and ideas in mind as we read through this text we're about to look at now from the Gospel of Luke. So we're going to read now from Luke 11, and from verse 14. So in the last couple of weeks, we've looked at Mary visiting Mary and Martha, and then Jesus, last time we heard, was teaching his disciples how to pray. And so from there, we see Jesus goes out and carries on his ministry here on the earth. And from verse 14, it says, "Now when he was casting out a demon that was mute, when the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled." This guy, he had been mute with this demon. Jesus cast him out. Everyone's, wow. But some of them said, "Well, he casts out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons." While others, to test him, kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest and finding none. It says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." So as you see, it's quite some passage, isn't it? It's amazing. There's so much in it. But what have we just kind of heard there through that? Well, we've heard that Jesus, he casts out a demon from someone. And some were amazed, marveling. Others made accusations that he was of the devil. And still there were others that demanded something more from him. A sign from heaven. Show us. Jesus responds with a challenge to the accusations by pointing out that a divided kingdom or household can't stand, but it will surely come to ruin. And he poses the question, well, why would he be working for Satan to cast out demons that Satan himself has assigned to people? And Satan, you know, may be strong, but Jesus here is showing that he is the strongest. And he can and he will overcome Satan and his schemes. And Jesus points out here to people his deity, that he is of God, that he is actually God himself, and that his kingdom is here and is being outworked before their very eyes. Do you see? My kingdom is here. I'm casting out these demons. This is the kingdom of God coming. And if people are not for Jesus, they're against him. And therefore, they're against God. And then he makes reference to this unclean spirit coming out of someone. But then later, that spirit bringing seven more because that person, their house, their home, their heart was swept. It was left clean, empty, but wasn't filled. And so that person ends up being worse off than they were in the first place. And then finally, we hear this woman in the crowd saying, "How blessed is the one who gave birth to Jesus." But Jesus, although he doesn't kind of dismiss what she's saying, he kind of says, "Yeah, but the one who is truly blessed is the one who hears the word of God and obeys it and does it and lives it out." So, as I was saying, there's a lot in here. It's a rich passage. But as we read it, and as I've just recapped it then, I wonder what you see in it. I wonder what jumped out to you. Maybe for, you know, we read something and different things can jump out for different ones of us. I wonder what strikes you. Well, when I kind of spent time looking at this and thinking about it, I think I came to the point of like, what is my overall kind of sense? What do I see in this passage? I think simply I come to the conclusion that I see the power and authority of Jesus in this. There's so much we could draw, but the power and authority of Jesus is such a key thing to go, wow, to marvel at and to recognize and to take hold of. His power to, at his word, just cast out demons, free people. And his power to restore people and reclaim the throne of their hearts. But it's also important to recognize here the power of the devil. He is, as Jesus describes him, like a strong man. Jesus isn't saying, oh, the devil, he's just a weak, like, he's in this world. He has power over the hearts and lives of people, and we shouldn't be ignorant of that or underestimate it at all. But there's something I found really helpful as I was studying this, reading a commentary, and I thought I'd just read directly what it says because I just thought it was great. It's from a really old commentary called Matthew Henry's Complete Commentary. It's one of those ones you can get free because it's so old, but it's got so much in it. But he says here, "The miserable condition of an unconverted sinner in his heart, which was fitted to be a habitation of God," the heart of the unconverted, our hearts are to be a habitation of God. "In this place, the devil has his palace, and all the powers and faculties of the soul being employed by him in the service of sin are his goods." So note, the heart of every unconverted sinner is the devil's palace, where he resides and where he rules. You might think, well, that sounds quite extreme. But he works in the children of disobedience. The heart is a palace, a noble dwelling, but the unsanctified heart is the devil's palace. His will is obeyed, his interests are served, and the militia is in his hands. He usurps the throne in the soul. The devil is a strong man, armed. He keeps this palace, does all he can to secure it to himself and fortify it against Christ. All the prejudices with which he hardens men's hearts against the truth and holiness are the strongholds which he puts up for the keeping of the palace. This palace is his garrison. There is a kind of peace in the palace of the unconverted soul, while the devil, as a strong man armed, keeps it. The sinner has a good opinion of himself, is very secure and merry, and has no doubt concerning the goodness of his state, nor any dread of judgment to come. He flatters himself in his own eyes and cries peace to himself. Before Christ appeared, all was quiet because all went one way. But the preaching of the gospel disturbed the peace of the devil's palace. Wow, isn't that like incredible? Those words. The Beelzebul, the devil is referred to in this passage, there's kind of different, people would have different ways of translating that, but one way of translating it would be master of the house or master of the palace. So the devil is saying, I'm the master of your heart, your palace, your soul, of the unconverted sinner. Let me just carry on reading a couple more bits from this commentary. The conversion of a soul to God is Christ's victory over the devil and his power in that soul, restoring the soul to its liberty and recovering its own interest in it and dominion over it. Christ disarms him. When the power of sin and corruption in the soul is broken, when mistakes are rectified, the eyes are opened, the heart humbled and changed and made serious and spiritual, then Satan's armor is taken away. Secondly, he divides the spoils, or like the plunder. He takes possession of them for himself. So we see in this passage, there's this reference in verse 22 of the, he divides the spoil, the stronger man. And a spoil is like goods that are stolen or taken forcibly from a person. So when an army invades a place they shouldn't be in or something and they ransack the place, they take the spoils. They take the stuff that's not really theirs to take and own, but they take hold of it. And so essentially what we're seeing here is that the devil, he takes possession of things that Christ should have. And so when Christ breaks down these strongholds and comes into a person's life, he takes these spoils back and reclaims them for his own. Things, the mind, the body, our interests, what we do is now Christ's. So, it's quite heavy, isn't it? But if our hearts are likened to a palace, a noble dwelling, as we've heard described there, then who should be the master of it and who should take the throne of that place? This isn't a rhetorical question. Who should take the throne of our hearts? Jesus, amen? He is the rightful ruler. He is the rightful one who should take the throne. Do we want the devil to inhabit the place of people's hearts? No, not ours. Oh, we've come to, for those of us that know Jesus, we've come to this place where Jesus, yes, you've broken in. You have won the victory in my heart. And there's all these people out there in our community who don't know Jesus and who aren't in that place. We want Jesus to inhabit their hearts and take the throne, don't we? But I wonder, do we feel overwhelmed by the prospect of the strong man being evicted from the palace of people's hearts? It's all very well to say, I want to see this, but in all honesty, it can be overwhelming, right? You think, all the people that don't know Jesus, the people you've been praying for years. God, I want you to break in, but it's overwhelming when I just think of one or two. When I think of the hundreds and thousands, it's like it can feel like too much. And sometimes maybe that can cause us to just be like, I'm almost going to like bury my head in the sand or just forget, like, because it can be a bit overwhelming. But the joy is that we shouldn't feel that sense of overwhelm, being overwhelmed, because although there's the strong man, the devil is referred to in this passage, we know of the stronger man, the strongest, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who rules over all things, the one who created the world and everything in it, who has all power and authority and dominion. As Jesus was displaying when he came, he's saying, I am the Son of God, and God has given all authority and power to me. And you know, he gives it to us as well. And the Great Commission, he says, now all this authority I'm giving over to you. The Holy Spirit will come and will help it, as we were hearing last week about the Holy Spirit. It's good news, and it should give us hope. And should give us hope when we feel overwhelmed. We say, what do we do? We don't, but we go, God. And he goes, yep, remember? I have the power. You do have the power. God, I look to you, not to me. I look to you. Let's not allow the devil back into our hearts. Let's not give him any space. We're like, no, actually, you have no right here. God has all authority to be here, and he has the right. When we're set free from something, maybe in our lives, okay, so Jesus has come into our lives. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect. We're not always going to find it easy. God has taken the throne of our hearts, but we still will have it times where we're like, why don't we forget or we struggle? There are things that we still need God to work out in our lives. But we need to remind ourselves of who God is. We need to, when we've been set free of something, we need to say, thank you, God. And now, God, come and fill my heart. Come and fill that space. So have we left our hearts emptied, or do we fill them with Jesus? So, try and think of like different illustrations for this kind of thing, and nothing's perfect. But I was just reminded in this bit, in this passage, about the clean heart, and then, you know, it's filled with those seven spirits. In this building, I don't know if you've ever had a look around here and been downstairs. So there's a whole downstairs where the kids and youth ministry is going on right now. Back there, downstairs, there's a room. It's small, it's a cozy room, and I think before COVID it was being used for different things, people hiring the building. We had meetings in there, and then we had COVID and the building shut down, and then some of those people who hired it and used it regularly didn't use it. And I'm in the building quite a bit. I do kids stuff, and we have quite a lot of props and all that, and we have them all shoved in this cupboard, and I thought, we need to sort them out. So I kind of went into this little cupboard within that room and brought everything out. Thought, I'm going to sort it out. Helen's looking knowingly at me. I've got to go home. And then I kind of left it there. And then the next day I come back and I walk in and I go, maybe not today. And same at home, you know. You know what it's like? You want to do a declutter or something of that room, and it's like, and anyway, it got left for weeks and then months. And then I had a sabbatical last year where I went off for 3 months about this time last year, which was amazing. And just before, I was aware of that room, and I was aware, not to draw too much attention, but a lot of you know Helen, and you know that she likes things in order. And I was very aware. I was like, Helen, I'm going to sort that room out before I go away. And she was very gracious, and she said, don't worry about it, just leave it. And I was like, really? Okay. I think you should have been harder on me. Like, so I did, and it was bliss, 3 months. And then I came back after 3 months, and you know, go back down. Oh, yeah, still the same, you know. Helen didn't whiz her magic, but she was very respectful because she didn't know what to touch. She knew that was like, oh, well, I don't know what to do with this stuff. So anyway, this room's there, and it's just basically just turned into a dumping ground. And then, of course, other people come in and go, oh, I'll just put that there. I'll put that bag of rubbish in there. Or, you know, it's just, you know, it's one of those rooms where you can just shove stuff. So anyway, it was full of rubbish. And the point being here, as I'm sure you can work out, is that we clear a space, so the space was cleared, but if it wasn't being repurposed for something specific, it turns into a dumping ground. All this rubbish comes in and it stays there. I can tell you, and I probably wouldn't be sharing this unless I had a good news out at the end of that story, and partly it was out of our children's work downstairs. Thank God it's grown, and we have lots of children, and we want to serve them well. And we wanted to create two age groups for the younger kids just to have more appropriate teaching for each age group. So we thought, where can we put them? Because we're limited to space. There's a great room there. We only have about, in this little group we're wanting for some of the younger kids, we have about, you know, 6 to 10 kids. That would be a great size room. Okay, so now I've got to sort it out. And I did. There was a deadline. We sorted it out. And cut a long story short, the room is sorted out. It's made look really nice, repainted on some of the bits of the walls, hoovered, cleaned, and it's been completely repurposed. Now, the room, if you were to go there now after today, it still actually feels quite empty, but it hasn't been filled with rubbish again. Why? Because it's got a new purpose. There is a purpose to it. It's now being used as a place to gather children, to share the gospel with them, to disciple them, to help them to know Jesus. And knowing that happens every week, we're not going to just dump some rubbish in it, because we know actually that needs to be used and it has a clear purpose. Now, that was quite a long illustration, but I hope you are helpful to get the point that Jesus does a work in our life, and we might think, God, thank you for dealing with that big sin issue. Thank you for dealing with this or that I was going through. Wonderful. That's sorted. Now I can just enjoy life. But in this passage, Jesus says, he talks about going with me, and he talks about those that are gathering with me. There's a sense of when Jesus comes to do a work in our hearts, it's not just like, Jesus, you've sorted me out. Now I can just chill and relax. He's saying, now come with me. He called disciples. He was always on a journey. And that room is like, Jesus, although it's not moving, we're going on a journey with you. We're doing something of purpose for you, and therefore we're not filling it with junk. Jesus, you've sorted out this issue in my life, but I'm not going to get complacent. We can't get complacent and just think, Jesus, you've sorted it, that's fine. We now need to say, Jesus, continue. Daily, I invite you, take residence in my heart. Help me, Lord Jesus. Guide me. Help me to help others with what I went through so that I don't become complacent and fall back. We need him. And thank Jesus. As I said, thank the Holy Spirit. He is with us and he empowers us to do those things. If I had, after being pinned down by my brother, my dad had come in, taken him off, if I had then gone, thanks, and then just hung around or gone upstairs and gone somewhere and my dad wasn't, the likelihood could be that I'm then confronted again by not just one, but two of my brothers, and they pin me down again. Hey, we got you. And it probably did happen. But if I chose to always follow my dad around, which would... I could have done that. Dad, I'm just going to be with you wherever you go. Just let me follow you. But that'd be good. I'd learn stuff, probably. I'm sure he wouldn't mind too much. It's the same with God. It's like, God, thank you for sorting me out. Now let me go where you go. Help me, Lord. I want to walk with you because you are the stronger one. You are the one that can help me overcome all things. When I'm not with you, when I forget that, when I become complacent, then I get worried, then I get fearful, then I can allow things to pin me down again. Ugh. We need to remember him. We need to remember some of these key truths that we're hearing. Ephesians 1:21-22 says, Jesus is far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything, the church. We are not to fear Satan and his forces because Jesus is greater. He is the stronger man, and he is in us and with us in spiritual warfare. He assures us in 1 John 4, verse 4, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, these spiritual forces, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. We need to remember that, amen? Let's continue to seek Jesus, to be with him, to go where he wants us to go. We are not to be idle. You feel like you've perhaps have become idle, become complacent. As another commentator wrote, we delude ourselves when we believe we are just standing still. We are either going forward, growing in Christ-likeness, or we are going backwards, becoming more and more conformed to the image of this world. May the latter never be said of us. Let's follow him. Let's keep advancing. Let's keep pursuing him. Let's keep going forward. Let's keep being ruthless and saying no to that. No to this if we know it's not helpful, if it's not of God, if it's not encouraging us to move forward with him and his purposes. This our time on this earth is fleeting. It's going to go like that. What are we going to do with it? What do you do if this was your last day? Or if you knew this was your last week? Would that affect how you're living? Let's allow him to take the throne of our hearts and ownership over the palace of our hearts. As he says in the end of that passage in verse 28, Jesus said, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Let's be bold and be strong. I want to invite the band up. We're going to sing together in a minute. As I say those words, be bold and be strong, I was thinking of that. That phrase came into my head as I was preparing. It reminded me of a song I used to sing as a kid in my church. I don't think actually most people would know it, but there's a song. Does anyone know the song, Be Bold, Be Strong for the Lord? Okay, there are quite a few, okay. It's so simple, and we sung it like every week, I'm pretty sure. But it just went, be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. Be bold, be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. I am not afraid, no, no. I am not dismayed, not me, because I'm walking in faith and victory. Come on, walk in faith and victory, for the Lord your God is with you. Woo! Yeah. All the youth coming in going, what are they doing? Thanks for joining in. I didn't know we were going to sing that. But what a song. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. I'm not afraid because the Lord is with me. I'm walking in faith and victory. I'm walking in faith knowing and believing all that we've just heard this morning. I'm walking in victory because all that we've heard today is true. And God is God and he is ruler and has authority over all things. Amen. So let's stand together. We're going to respond. We're going to sing. We're going to declare the truth of God. And let's remind ourselves of the fact that Jesus is the stronger man. He is the strongest of all. And we give him glory and praise. And we invite him again. Jesus, take the throne of my heart. Lord Jesus, we do say that, Lord. Thank you for encouraging us this morning through your word. We look to you again and we say, take the throne of our hearts. Lord Jesus, come inhabit this palace. Lord, it's all yours. And Lord, we give it to you. And we say, come and be at work, right, or allowed any of that junk to come back in. We say, be gone with it. We look to you, Jesus. Help us to walk in faith and victory every day, this week, in the coming months, in the coming years. Lord God, I thank you earlier as we heard of Kim and Elaine celebrating 40 years of marriage today and faithfulness. We pray the same for us in our walks with you, that we would walk and we would go, yes, I've walked 40, 50, 60, whatever many years of faithful following you. And Lord, we're thankful for that, where the times where we do fall and slip, you welcome us back into your arms and you say, come on, dust yourself off, pick yourself up and go again. I'm for you, I'm with you, I'm your father. And I'm here, I'm the stronger one. I can pick those things off you that are pinning you down because I have all power and authority. Thank you, Lord. We give you the glory. Amen. Amen. Let's worship together.